Good morning. This morning I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5. Very familiar. A voice of one calling, "In the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Amen. Alice left a bunch of Christmas pamphlets, and I've been reading them. And in one of those, there was a story about this elderly lady, a grandmother, who was getting older and finding it more difficult to find gifts for the children. So she decided that this Christmas she would take it a little easier and just send them a Christmas card with a check so they could decide what to get for themselves. So on Monday she went and she got the Christmas cards and she filled them all out. On Tuesday she wrote out all of her checks for all the grandchildren. And on Wednesday, she went to the post office and mailed them. And then on Friday, as she was cleaning her house, as she did every week on Friday, she found the checks still on the table. The funny thing was, inside the Christmas cards, she had written a little note at the bottom that said, "Buy your own gifts." So she had to make some quick phone calls, I guess, to clear that up. Anyway, we need to be prepared, and it takes time to become prepared, especially at Christmas when we're all so busy. In fact, I want to announce, if you're not ready for Christmas, it's time to get ready. Okay? It's almost done. Time to make sure that tree is decorated, all the decorations are up, the manger scene is set. Make sure that you've got your presents bought. There's only, I'd hate to go now. Time to make sure your lights are up on the house. Time to bake the cookies, make the fudge, hang the stockings, fill them up. Time to wrap the presents, attach the tags, make sure the checks are in the envelopes. Make all the bows, make everything just right, give the house a cleaning. And there's something the guys do too, but I can't remember right now. I know they, maybe just for support. Pardon? Shovel the walk. In weather like this, it'd be nice. Also, time to practice for the Christmas choir program and the children's service. And as you know, as of today, you have two more days to get ready for Christmas. Stores are open longer. But I wonder, with all this preparation going on around the house and in our lives, will you take time to prepare for Christmas in your heart as well? So often Christmas becomes a bother instead of a blessing, full of headaches instead of hallelujahs, all because we fail to heed the words of the prophet Isaiah spoken in Isaiah 40, verse 3. "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Those words were fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. And they're not talking about a construction project, but a preparation of the heart to welcome the Lord Jesus. And this morning I want to apply this call to our need to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And this morning I want to offer you three ways to prepare your heart for Christmas. And I want to begin with Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. That's about the little children and Jesus. "People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it.'" So we need to become like children. And many people believe that Christmas is for children. Or with that faraway look, they recall how they remember Christmas when they were a little child. And I often hear people say, well, I wonder what it means to be celebrating Christmas like a child. Do they mean they've gotten too old to enjoy the celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I sometimes detect a little sadness, a little disappointment, maybe a little longing for the days when we all had Christmas as a child. Yet Jesus seems to think that even grown-ups need to become like little children. He once told a man named Nicodemus that the only way to see God's kingdom was to be born again. Nicodemus had a hard time with that. How can you start all over again? Like a newborn baby? That's impossible. Jesus says something similar here when his disciples say that Jesus is too busy, too important to take time for the little children. And Jesus tells them, guys, don't you realize how important children are? Children are your model of how you are to enter and how you are to live in God's kingdom. Unless you become like a child again, there is no way you will ever get to heaven. What did Jesus mean by this? First of all, let me tell you what he did not mean. He does not mean that there's anything wrong with growing up. There's a big difference between being childish and being childlike. Now here's a secret. No matter what you may think, children aren't always the little angels that we think they are. And Jesus is not discouraging you from maturing as you get older. In fact, that's a problem with many adults. They haven't grown up. They haven't outgrown temper tantrums or selfishness or unforgiveness. But despite all the negative things you lay aside as you grow up, there are some things you need to hold on to, no matter how old that you get. And let me give you two that can help you prepare your heart for Christmas. What Jesus is talking about is dependence. Children need somebody to take care of them. They do some things themselves, but they depend on adults to do many things that they can't do. And as you know, most kids don't mind this arrangement. If you have good parents, you probably don't mind. You don't worry about where your food comes from, where the next meal is, or your clothes, or about what you need for going to school. You trust that your parents will take care of these things. I remember when my parents went through some tough times, we never worried about having enough food on the table or about having a present under the Christmas tree. Children are a model for our trust in our Heavenly Father. And this trust is spoken about in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Or what man is there among you who, if he has a son, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus tells us that we should become like children who depend on their Father. Not to depend on him to do what they can, but to depend on him to do those things that they cannot do themselves. Becoming a child is simply learning to depend on God. Children are also full of wonder. Children see the world differently as adults do. They are amazed at simple things, like a caterpillar spinning a cocoon and becoming a butterfly, a falling star, a waterfall, rainbows, bugs, the aurora borealis, and I find they really like construction. They like to see the big machines and the equipment moving around. They see things that grown-ups take for granted. They hear the story of David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, Jesus walking on water, and they're amazed, and they want to hear that story again. But we're too old for that. We don't take time to stop and see. We don't take time to see the wonder and see the works of God around us. We're like Moses in a way. We walk past that burning bush, but instead of stopping, we hurry on and miss the living God waiting to dazzle us with his glory. That's why for some Christians, it's just another holiday. We don't take time to really look at the baby in the manger, to think about who he is. We do not do this intentionally, but gradually over the years, it becomes more distant to us, and we become distracted by other things in our lives that take up its place. Many we think are important, but are they really more important? Even more important, maybe, than why we celebrate Christmas? Jesus calls us to become children again, to look at the world around us, to look deep into the word that he gave us, and let him amaze you. Let him astound you. Let him dazzle you with his greatness and his goodness. Let me challenge you this Christmas to become like a child again in your heart. Don't go back to your childish ways. But what if you practiced more on depending on God and a little less of worrying about everything around you? What if you took time to stop and look around at the wonder of God's world, the wonders of God's word, even right now in your heart? Becoming a child again is a great way to prepare your heart to celebrate the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do this, we might just rediscover the blessing of giving. But what would Christmas be without getting presents? If you want to prepare for Christmas in your heart, you've got to rediscover the blessing of giving. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. The Apostle Paul is saying his last goodbye to some dear friends from the church of Ephesus. He wants to leave them with words to help them stay faithful to God, to help them to enjoy God's blessing. Amidst everything else, he says, he quotes the words of Jesus himself, words that are not found in any of the other four Gospels. I don't know if Jesus spoke these words directly to Paul or if he overheard them being said to another disciple, but they sound like something he would say. This is from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Luke 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. The idea is the same. Giving brings more blessing to the giver than to the receiver. The trouble is, maybe you're not sure about that. Are you? Our culture is a lot more about getting than giving. Kids make a list of what they want to get for Christmas, not what they want to give. I like the positive outlook that this child wrote in the Argus the other day. Must have been a little girl. She was asking for something from Santa. And she says, dear Santa, I would like a doll. I can't remember what exactly it was, but I would like the doll. And the second sentence was, and thank you for giving me the doll for Christmas. Like, that girl knew what she wanted, and she was positive that Santa was going to give it. And we should be the same about when we pray to our Lord. As I said, our culture is a lot more about getting than giving. We walk into a Walmart, Costco, or Visions, and we spend lots of money on presents for ourselves and for our family, and throw the change into the Salvation Army bucket. We don't mind buying presents for people, but I'm sure that you hope to get something also back from them. And if I spend $50 on their present, I better not unwrap something from the dollar store. We don't really give gifts. We often just exchange gifts. It all has to balance out. And every present we give should cost the same, because we don't want to cause any problems between anybody when they open up their presents. Right down to the dollar, you know. Curtis gets that. Jeff's got to get this. Richard gets more, but we won't. And just don't forget, talking about giving, there's a collection afterward. At least I think so. Yes, there is. Isn't that how we think? Be honest. Most of us feel just the opposite of Jesus' words. It's more blessed to receive than to give. I'm not telling you that it's wrong to get presents or to exchange Christmas gifts. I like getting presents as much as the next person. What I'm telling you, what Jesus and Paul are telling us, is that the pleasure of receiving a gift cannot compare to the pleasure of giving a gift. Think about it. Excuse me for a second. Think about it. How many times do you unwrap a gift, get all excited, and 2 months later when somebody asks you what you got for Christmas, you can't recall what that gift was? Children wait, sometimes all night before Christmas morning, to open that present. And often it's left in the corner shortly after, never to be played with again, till the dog wrecks it, till dad steps on it, till it's in the garbage. Even that great gift that you may get, that piece of jewelry that you will cherish, seems to lose its luster over the years. When you give a toy to a child who has no parents, when you bring food to somebody or give money to feed somebody at Union Gospel Mission who would otherwise go hungry, when you visit someone who has lost someone close to them, when you share what you have with the person everyone else forgets about, when you go caroling to sing to the elder, when you give without thought of what do I get out of it, when you give something of yourself, that is a blessing beyond any gift that you could ever receive for yourself. We may not all go caroling, but I challenge you, what are you doing? You may not work at Union Gospel Mission, but what are you doing? Are you giving or are you receiving? Are you filled with the joy of what Jesus has done for you and sharing it with others? Are you letting others do it for you and missing out on the blessing? You can do many different things. A Christian man was living in a predominantly Muslim country. It was Christmas Day, and there was no church to attend. The man decided to do something to celebrate Christmas, but what could he do? He decided to buy some candy and give it to the children on the streets. In that country, it was against the law to share your Christian faith. But what a perfect way to celebrate Christmas. He gave the children those candies, and people stopped and asked him why he was doing it, which gave him an opportunity to share. He couldn't come right out and say it, but if they were asking him questions, he could answer. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." When you give, you are doing what God did at Christmas, giving. Let me challenge you to prepare your heart for Christmas this year by rediscovering the blessing of giving. Enjoy the presents you get, but never forget the real joy comes from a giving heart. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky. I like lights. I like lots of lights. I like lights of different colors. I like Christmas lights. When we used to live in Winnipeg, we would often take a different route home in our car just at Christmas time to see what they had on different streets, because you might see something really neat. There were some streets in Winnipeg when we would take Alice's mom home that the whole street was involved. The whole, both sides, all had lights and displays up. I like that. And if I go by a street that looks like it has lots of lights, sometimes I'll have to circle the block and go back down it. I never get tired of looking at the lights and the creativity that we see from people who are putting them up. And the Lord Jesus called us to be the light of the world. He calls us to do this and to echo. And Paul echoes the same idea. He pictures the world without Christ as in deep darkness, and the children of God as lights in that darkness. He wants us to live differently. When everyone else is griping and fussing, we need to practice being content, thankful, and loving. If the people we work with live selfishly and carelessly without thinking about the Lord, we should not get sucked along into that same pattern. We should be shining. We should be showing something different to them. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven. Perhaps at no other time of the year besides Christmas do Christians have a chance to shine that light more clearly and more beautifully. There are people where you go at school, where you work, where you live, who really don't understand what Christmas is all about. So where do you even start? They all know that Christmas is about Jesus' birth, but they really don't connect with anything about his salvation, about his death. This all to them happened 2,000 years ago. So what's it got to do with them now? Or what's it got to do with what's happening in their lives? And this is a time where we can let our light shine. What I mean is, we don't need to show off and think about how good you are compared to those other people or how bad you think they are. It's not a time to get self-righteous. It can be the best time to share what Jesus means to you with others. It's a time to show the people that the baby born in Bethlehem came to change our lives. He came to bring us peace with one another and peace with God. He came to give us a purpose in life and hope after death. Our job as lights of the world is to show them why he came and lead them to the light of the world that can light up their darkness. And that won't happen by accident. That won't happen by letting others do it for you. You've got to prepare yourself to shine for Jesus. You've got to pray and ask him for opportunities to share the love with others. You've got to take time to think about how you will tell them when they ask, what makes you different than those around you? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Especially through times of difficulty, when others are having difficulty and you have words of encouragement. Those are opportunities we don't want to miss. This year, you can survive the Christmas season, gripe and complain about the bother, yawn about hearing the Christmas story again, and be glad the whole thing is over. Or you can prepare for Christmas by becoming like a child again, by rediscovering the blessing of giving, and by shining in this world. How is Jesus calling you to prepare your heart for Christmas this morning? Don't look only out for your own interests, but take an interest in others as well. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had, and I thank our Lord and Savior that he came 2,000 years ago, not for himself, but to others and for me. You have the opportunity to share the real meaning of Christmas, and we all have that opportunity. You have the opportunity to praise and worship. You all have that opportunity to speak to others and to live and to show your light. And you have that opportunity to give and to serve. Shall we stand for prayer? Thank you, Lord God, that you sent your Son 2,000 years ago, that you had that plan of salvation written out even before the world was created. You had that plan of salvation written for me. Lord, we ask that this Christmas season you would open our hearts to become like little children, to enjoy the message that we read in the Bible, that we heard this morning from George. We ask you to help us to be a blessing to those around us. Help us to be encouraged in sharing the word. Help us to be lights in the community. This Christmas, open our hearts to be giving to others. And we give you thanks for your Son, who came not only to be born, but to die and to give himself for our sins so that we might be forgiven. Help us this Christmas to be as little children again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.